I Am The One Entrepreneur Edition is brought to you by Try Business School. Get your free mini course, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business. Visit iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get access.
Okay, I'm Greg Sullivan and I am the one. 私はグレッグ・サリバンです。それで私は唯一の、唯一の人です。
Entrepreneur Edition, a show that explores the journeys of business owners who decided to be the one to make life better for the people they serve. I'm your host, Sonia Thompson, and today's guest is Greg Sullivan. Greg is a writer, speaker, consultant, and professional sound designer who's lived in Japan since 2003. Greg's been active in Japanese TV and print media for more than 10 years, and his publications include articles in Tape Op, Sculpture Magazine, and his latest book, Hologram Mind, has been well received in many circles. We can learn a ton from Greg, in particular how he's learned to push the limits well beyond his comfort zone to build a business and life that thrives. But before we dive into the interview, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Try Business School, which is all about helping you get the customers you want and keep them coming back for more. And to help you with that, I've got a free mini course for you, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business. It comes from more than 100 interviews with successful entrepreneurs, including a good chunk who've built multi-million dollar businesses. And the framework is overlaid with science-backed data to help you understand why the principles in the blueprint work so well. So head on over to iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get access. All right, let's get to it. Here's Greg. Hey, Greg, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I say thanks a million for having me. Great. Good to see you.
It's my pleasure. Let's go ahead and dive right in. You've got a super interesting story. Tell me about your business, Super Logical.
Yeah, we do media. I'm like a translator and a writer here in Japan. And I started off freelancing for a magazine. And I bring over different sorts of information from the America and Europe. Into the sort of spiritual wellness new age community here. So there's been a lot of people who've localized content such as yoga or other sorts of, you know, kind of wellness modalities. So I've kind of gotten involved with some of those places in the US, and then we actually the reason why I ran into content marketing itself was after experiencing a launch of a film, a documentary film we released here 3 years ago. So just the whole process of doing, we did over 2 years of screenings around Japan, mm-hmm. all just completely on our own. So it had a really powerful reaction. But at the end of the day, I realized that, you know, all we had left was the people whose email we had, you know, our mailing list. So that's how this all got started, really.
Very cool. Very cool. So what would you say is a specific problem that you solve for the people that you serve?
Basically, I think with the language barrier, it is they really have there's a lot of active people doing these kind of workshops and lecture events, a ton of great, interesting speakers in all realms out here. But the people are trying to stay connected with what's going on in the English speaking world. And of course, there is a huge language barrier. So in terms of also, you know, things like on-demand TV, Netflix is here now and things like that. But the whole market as far as publishing and everything is still extremely analog. So what I'm trying to keep that gap of, you know, 6 months, a year to 2 years that they often experience here just for the translation to happen. We try and bring that into more real time, getting content to people in real time.
Right. So who is your customer? Do you have two? Like, is it the people who are consuming the translated content, or is it people whose content you're translating?
I guess you could say both. Well, mainly our Japanese clientele is, the people buying my books and coming to our events and consuming our, videos and CDs and stuff. And yeah, so then and then on the other on the US side, we have the people who are actually using their content. So there's only a couple, a few groups like that. But yeah, so it's I write my own original stuff as well. So it's sort of a mix.
Very
Yeah.
cool. So what would you say, like, what made you decide that you were going to be the one to solve this problem?
It was quite a natural, an organic process, really. The interesting thing is that I first started out. I graduated at NYU in the music division, music technology in New York, and I graduated in 1999. And of all the places out there, as we all know, the first industry that ever got hit with this digital revolution was the music industry, with Napster and everything. So I experienced that revolution, or the, sink or swim kind of thing, from the beginning. So trying to be a producer slash engineer, I kind of graduated college, and then I sort of did my time in the trenches in a rural retreat studio outside of Hartford, Connecticut. And so I've been involved with a lot of different startup projects, and that ended up doing really well with a German microphone company called Telefunken that they acquired. So the owner was really interested in a vintage audio equipment and everything, and then they've done a lot with that brand. So and then basically, as I started to move abroad, I was in New Zealand for almost a year on a working holiday at first, and then doing my own music and freelancing writing and stuff. And then slowly I was drawn to Japan, and basically it was quite a journey. But the first 5 years here was sort of just, I accomplished my first dream, which was to work in a recording studio here. So by year five in Japan, I was in Tokyo, fluent, almost, working totally in Japanese with
Wow.
all Japanese people in a studio that was recording narration for anime films and different kinds of video games. So that was really exciting. Yeah, and then this is my second stint here. I was back in the U.S. for I tried corporate culture briefly in Manhattan in New York again,
Oh wow, big
and
difference.
yes. So that was a kind of it was with an agency. I wanted to keep my Japanese up, and so I was working with I was in an IT division with a Toyota subsidiary for about a year. And then another company in New Jersey across the river there. But yeah, so it ended up that I was drawn back here, and now I've been going in this project for about 6 years. So it was an organic process. Yeah, and I went through sort of like a dark night of the soul, a lot of soul searching, and as we all do, I think. And there was a lot of it took a lot of gusto to go back the second time.
I'll
And
bet.
it was just when the re recession was hitting big, and I had gotten two different jobs in the US, so my family wasn't that excited when I decided to go back. But there was other factors involved at the time. But yeah, I'm very happy, and I can't imagine not being back here now.
That's a heck of a story, but it's
Yeah.
great the way life kind of always seems to push us in the direction of the space in which we're going to go. Sometimes it takes a little while, but we eventually get there.
Definitely. I know you travel abroad quite a bit. I just wanted to share a quick story. It was I kind of was, this was almost like a destined type of thing. I don't know how open to people are like that, but I actually had this unbelievable magical experience where sort of like a higher guidance came in, and I was really obviously worried about income and things like that, because when I was in Tokyo the first time, it's such an expensive place to be, if you're trying to freelance and riding the waves, surfing the waves of that world. But I had actually a $5 bill appear out of nowhere into my wallet, which was just really crazy. So that was sort of like this, go, you can do it. It was even the sort of the world of the unseen was moving there at the same time. It was pretty intense, pretty unbelievable.
It's great whenever we get those signs that we're on the right path.
Definitely.
For
Yeah,
sure.
it's they come from all sorts of places. Yeah.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk more about your experience as an entrepreneur over, I guess, what, 11 years that you've been in Japan
Yes.
working. So tell me, what would you say was the biggest mindset barrier that you had to overcome? Because imagine you've had a lot of barriers. One, learning and working in a different country in a different language. But
Yes. Yep.
overall, what would you say was the biggest mindset barrier that you had to over that you, that limited you, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a great question. I think first was, the first thing again was trying to I had this major kind of career switch. So it was like, having to let go of one thing for and then, try out another was the first big hurdle. And then I think also building a network of doing pretty much everything from the ground up, like searching all the logistics and everything for what we do as far as events was basically me. So that was involving a lot of kind of work that maybe assistants or VAs might take care of. I did everything on my own. So that included, researching event facilities and hotels and whatnot, or travel, all that stuff within the country. Setting up that whole network was pretty was a pretty it was an interesting process, learning the service culture here really facilitated that. So it's easier than it would have been at home, actually, believe it or not. And then with, of course, there's different cultural barriers as far as they have the whole thing here with in Japan where the nail that stands up gets hit, gets knocked down. So I mean, there is somewhat of a course of a how'd you say, like the fact that I'm a foreigner makes me immune to some of that. But
Okay.
at times it's a very the group spirit and the group sensibility is very important here. So it's sort of like although I was running with my ship at full steam ahead sort of there in the beginning, like I said, that kind of burst of gusto that got me back here, I also still had to be aware that this wasn't New York anymore, and trying to in Japan they have a saying, it's like being aware of the eyes around you, being aware of the others, what everyone else is thinking. So kind of just always trying to be able to read people and read the situation and, read the air, like they say. So here they have an expression as well, like you kind of read the air in the room, so to speak. So yeah, that was all a learning experience for sure. This sort of like nonverbal communication element there in the
Indeed.
Japanese culture. Yeah.
Indeed, indeed. Oh, I could dive and talk about your Japan experience for hours, I'm sure. But let's talk a little bit more about habits. Are there any specific habits or suite of habits that you rely on heavily to enable you to get your work done efficiently?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing for entrepreneurs. I've been working on that a lot in the last few years. I think I'm organized in some ways, but in other ways, I still have sort of this the creative. I'm more of a creative. I have a strong creative force, so trying to temper that into systems can be challenging at times. So basically, yeah, I'm it's as far as I'd say I'm trying to work more. I'm trying to delegate. I'm working a lot more and trying to delegate things, and that's been a trying to distinguish which things I can and really should be working on. Because I definitely suffered from the I want to do it all the time, entrepreneur syndrome. So that's a tricky one to break out of. But I actually, believe it or not, I think for me, the novel, this sort of idea of entropy and novelty, and although repetition in systems is good, I do, for example, for my last book here that came out last year, I was able to kind of like what you're doing there. I went out of the house, out of my comfort zone, and one of our supporters has a home, a beach house that I was able to use and hole up in. And so I was kind of able to be there in Okinawa, down in the heart, sort of Hawaii area of Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really great. So I do take the time to get out of the box and try and stay inspired and stay kind of above the game, above the playing field, so to speak,
Definitely. I think people underestimate the value of fueling your creativity as a habit. Like you said, I'm in Buenos Aires right now, and a lot of people don't always understand why I need to come here. But yeah, like you said, you need sometimes to shake up your environment, and be intentional about doing that kind of consistently or from time to time whenever you're doing something really important or that requires a lot of creative energy to make sure that you're feeding your creative habit. So yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I find that it's amazing the what that does. You, just by doing that, you end up saving a lot of time in some ways. It's because it gives you that fresh perspective. So I notice that when I come back from work trips, at times I'm on the road for even in within Japan, I'm on the road for a week, 10 days, 3 weeks, up to a month. So when I come back from that, actually I'm not exhausted. I hit the ground running, and the day I get back, I'm knocking out all these, really at times really tedious things as well, with no problem at all. So it's I would recommend that kind of not vagabond spirit, but yeah, I would recommend that to people. I would recommend that to people who haven't gotten out of the office or away from the computer. That's what's great about the laptop, I guess, or the tablet.
Absolutely.
You can
Absolutely.
stay in touch anywhere.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit
But
more about, oh, go ahead.
I know, I'm sorry. Yeah, but I'm really loving. I just wanted to mention, as I after we spoke, we spoke just after the New Year. I was on my way back here, and I realized that I am starting to really love these new tools that are coming out here, the SaaS tools, and one of them I found out about last year was Trello, as people probably use with the boards, and now Asana has that boards function. So I've been looking. A lot of people I know use those task and project planners, and just after getting back here, I've been we really got on with Asana back again. I had it installed, but really didn't really use it that much in the last couple of years. But with this boards feature now, it has that Trello. The good things about Trello are inside of the program now. So I think that's really going to be helping with the delegation and planning out for our content calendar and whatnot.
Very good.
The one thing I wanted to mention was that since I said it was analog, we've got this physical media here, like the last book that came out last year. I really have from the music days of like looking at doing entire albums that take months, or a book like this that even when it went at a fast rate was from start to finish, 5 or 6 months. In the meantime, all these bloggers and these people online are releasing information like, crazy, and the whole authority issue and everything. So, really, one of our major goals as of last year is to try and use the technique of splintering, and we're repurposing a lot of content. And I've got friends helping out, people helping out, getting the chapters of the book and prepping them as blog posts and everything. So we're going to be having a much more active, internet schedule happening this year. Yeah.
Sounds like you've got lots of great plans. It's great. It's great
Yeah.
to hear. Well, let's talk a little bit more because I'm guessing that as you're making these plans, your customers kind of inform a lot of what it is that you're going to do. So, how do you stay in tune to the needs of your customers so that you are able to figure out like what your next steps are going to be or how to give them exactly what it is that they need from you?
That's a good question. Yeah, because we did try a couple webinars. I got involved with doing some webinars last year, and but I still have we do events, every month. So I do get to interact with the people. So I get to bounce a lot of things off of our customers in real time, and I can see who's, I can ask, are you getting our mails? Are you actually able to see the things that are in the mailing, the mail blasts and everything, and everything like from are you what did I get real-time feedback? What did you think about this? Do you think you would take a part in another webinar, or is that possible for you? And at times, I'm able to actually do tech support right there in the for people. So yeah, it's still quite a small it's a small country, so it's nice to be able to interact with people like that directly.
Yeah, very good. And with regard to relationships that aren't necessarily your customers, are there things that you do in particular to cultivate and grow those so that you're able to continue growing and building your business?
Yeah, I believe it or not, Facebook is still really on its sort of first big rise here. So I'm getting message requests and friend requests all the time from people, and just this is constantly growing. That my Facebook account is completely dedicated to what I do here. So
Okay.
so basically, that's another way that I know at times that can be it's convenient at one time where you have it at your fingertips on the smartphone, but I'm trying to find the balance between, because when those messages start to stack up, I think at times that could be delegated to someone else. But people are fairly they keep it light and simple, and but that can apps like Facebook can also start to become ways that what we've had to deal with is that people start to try and apply for an event or whatnot. And you can drop those kind of things pretty easily. So we always try and direct people into the email, funnel there as much as possible.
Got it. Now, I know whenever entrepreneurs are just starting out, and you kind of mentioned this before, you're wondering, can you make money in this whole freelance economy? But now you've been doing this for years, quite a long time now. What would you say is your biggest fear as an entrepreneur now that you've been doing it for a little while? Has it changed?
A little bit, yeah. I think let's see. I mean, we've definitely stabilized in some ways. So I think in the our the we kind of grew was quite fast. So I kind of were I'm just I'm hoping that we can continue to go deeper with the topics and content that we have done without people kind of getting the wrong impression of that. That it's just being recycled, you know what I mean? So
Right.
it's like I kind of I'm a little bit of a not a scatterbrain, but I kind of like a lot of different stimulation at the same time. We all have that ADD thing happening now with all this technology at our fingertips. But so I want to always continue to deliver in a really high quality and a lot of substance. So I think a lot of the other things people are looking at a lot of times in our especially in this kind of wellness community, can be a little bit, of course, like fluffy and just kind of, a little bit light on the quality and content and the quality side of things. So I'm always trying to be as realistic as I can with people and kind of down to earth and grounded, while at the same time giving them, the sort of inspiration and whatnot.
Definitely important.
But I think again the big thing for us is here is it's an industry-wide thing is like we're all shifting from this analog publishing and analog media into the digital. So we're ahead of the curve. But as I spoke with one of the there was a couple from Malaysia at the Digital Commerce Summit in Denver as well, and they said the same thing. It's sort of like it's almost like you can't with the stuff we're aiming to accomplish. People aren't even there yet, and you have to explain the whole from A. You have to explain the whole concept from to them from A to Z. So there's going to be a lot of sort of extra legwork in that regard
Yeah.
for just because people haven't been exposed to the whole idea of like an online course or whatnot. It's a little bit behind here in that regard.
Got it. Now, what would you say are your three keys to success?
I think let's see. I think flexibility is one for sure. Yeah, it's obviously there's a lot of sudden changes and things you might think you can implement but then can't. They don't always go the way you might have projected. So definitely the flexibility to deal with sudden changes is one thing. I think I'd like to consider myself a people person. Yeah, I definitely enjoy interacting with people. I don't, as being a lecturer and stuff like that, and a published author, I never try and, I definitely always try and avoid the sort of pedestal, being put on a pedestal syndrome or anything like that, so that's, I try and keep it down to earth, keep it real, so to
Keep
speak.
it humble for sure. Yep.
And I think I definitely, also, I think, I'm pretty industrious or productive, you know, try and keep my nose to the grindstone. So I've definitely really sacrificed a lot in terms of my private life to get a whole lot done. I'm really excited and honored that we've had so much to do. A lot of the projects we do are quite heavy duty as far as the content load and the difficulty of the subject matter at times. So I think I've done a pretty good job in staying productive and kind of on the tasks, you know, throughout this whole 6 years here.
Very good, very good. All right, well, Greg, this has been great. Where can people find you?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of major portals right now in English, but my Facebook is one way to connect for sure. I will be hoping to be getting some more stuff out in English. Actually, one project I wanted to mention is that coming up with the Japan Olympics, I realized that they're the tourists, you know, through the tours and lectures I've done, I've traveled to all sorts of, you know, every little pocket and corner of Japan. So I'm actually kind of be working on prepping up a with the there's been a real ramp up in and a visible ramp up in visitors to Japan in the last few years. And then it's going to get even more with the Olympics. So I'm going to be putting together something for kind of like a Japan tourist tourism package, you know, video.
Very good.
And yeah, so that's going to be coming out. And my Facebook, so people can connect to Facebook, it's Greg Sullivan, just Greg Sullivan, and you'll see my picture. I've been on Facebook since the beginning, so it usually comes up right up towards the top of the search.
Okay, and I will have all that information in the show notes, but it sounds like lots of cool stuff and way to capitalize on opportunities with the Olympics coming up.
Yes, definitely.
All right, well, before I let you go, I do have one last question just to dig into your mind a little more, and that's to deliver a line from a movie that speaks to you and explain why you chose that one.
I have a pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. It's from The Wizard of Oz. And I think it's the whole thing where no matter what people's industry is, there's always I know following gurus and pun and sort of, you know, is a good thing in one regard, but in the end we always have to remind ourselves that we should be self-empowered and no matter what the sort of you know, the powers that be seem to be saying that could be in terms of you know, a lot of freelancers are going they're contrasting against major corporate media and things like that. So I'd say that, you know, definitely never doubt yourself and never doubt the power of, you know, connecting directly with your audience. So there's never been a better time to do that than now. So yeah, it's it really that phrase speaks to me quite a bit. The old school, the old world style of, you know, the sort of the wizard behind the curtain, you know, it's not what it seemed, and you know, and there's no reason why we should be you know, discouraged from doing what we really want to do because of that.
Great, great message. Great message. Especially from someone coming, living in Japan, living, working, operating for so many years in Japan. That's
Thank
so
you,
cool.
yes.
Greg, this has been great. Thank you again for sharing your story.
Thanks so much for inviting me and having me. It's been great.
Greg had such a cool story and lots of wonderful things to share, but there was one thing that stood out to me in particular, and that brings us to today's I Am the One challenge. How can you change up your scenery from time to time to give your work the creative boost it needs? Sometimes you need a bit of creative inspiration to infuse your projects with new life, so it's good to shake things up a bit every now and then, and especially when you've got a big project to produce. Think about it, and then once you've got your answer, don't forget to head on over to imtheone.fm/blueprint to get signed up for that free mini course. Until next time, keep working on building your dream business so you can make life better. Somebody's waiting on you. Thanks for listening.